It's the morning show. I'm Shereen Seewert. The fate of Wisconsin election administrator Megan Wolf is unclear as her term in the key battleground state comes to a close. What does the future hold? Call 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Barry Burden is a political science professor and the director of the Elections Research Center at UW-Madison. Barry, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning.
So Megan Wolf's current four-year term as Wisconsin elections administrator ends in days, July 1st. In 2019, she was confirmed unanimously by the Republican majority in the Senate. But this month, Senate President Chris Kapenga said there's no way she'll be reconfirmed. What's behind all this?
Well, what happened between 2019 and today is the 2020 presidential election. And Wolf became, I think, sort of a lightning rod for individuals who suspected there was something afoul about that election, people who were unhappy about the use of drop boxes to collect absentee ballots, even election deniers who believed that Trump was the rightful victor in Wisconsin. But even for Republicans who admit that Joe Biden was the victor, but believe that she made some inappropriate decisions or has too much power or some other sets of concerns. And so she has sort of become the vehicle for those grievances.
The state elections administrator is a nonpartisan position in Wisconsin. Some Democratic lawmakers worry that Republicans could replace Wolf with somebody who shares their political views. Is this likely?
We don't know. It's a surprisingly complicated process to choose an administrator. The commission is made of three Democrats and three Republicans. They meet this afternoon to consider this issue. They could vote to keep her in the position, in which case the nomination would be sent to the state Senate for approval. The state Senate might take action. It might not. The commission today might take action or might not. So there's some ambiguity in the law about what happens in these various scenarios. There is a provision of the law that says if no decision has been made in 45 days, a committee in the state legislature dominated by Republicans would get to appoint an administrator who could then serve for up to a year. So that would take us through about next summer. So that person could be someone favored by Republicans who would be in charge of that process.
Why has this position historically been nonpartisan, and what are your feelings about keeping it that way?
Well, Wisconsin has always had an unusual system of election administration, and we've reinvented it several times in the last 15 years or so. This commission only dates back to 2015, and so Megan Wolf is only, I think, the second administrator to serve in that position. Mm-hmm. Before that, for a short amount of time, the state had the Government Accountability Board that was also a nonpartisan board made of former judges. Before that was the State Elections Board. Mm-hmm. So Wisconsin, I think, has always prided itself on having either bipartisan or nonpartisan administration at the top of the state structure. And the administrator is that person, that the person is appointed by a bipartisan group, has to go through state Senate approval, and serves at the pleasure of those commissioners.
We're talking about Wisconsin election administrator Megan Wolf with Barry Burden. He's a political science professor and the director of the Elections Research Center at UW-Madison. Megan Wolf has declined to say whether she'll seek reappointment, but she did release a public statement. And she said, lawmakers should assess my performance on the facts, not on tired, false claims. Touched on this a little bit, but how has the stress and threats resulting from the 2020 election weighed on election officials?
Well, it's been maybe the most challenging time in the history of elections in the United States these last 5 years or so. We're working through, obviously, a public health pandemic that upended how elections are run in this country. Wisconsin was the poster child for those problems in the spring of 2020. The state was set to hold a presidential primary and Supreme Court election in April 2020. Ballots were already in the mail by the time the pandemic had really taken hold. There was some back and forth between the governor and the state legislature. Eventually, a Supreme Court intervention that kept the election on that date. The night before the election. But as our listeners will remember, it was a real disaster in some places, especially in Milwaukee, where about 185 polling places were reduced to just 5 polling places because poll workers mostly weren't willing to serve during the early days of the pandemic. So you have that pandemic experience, which ran through the November election, and then all of the challenges to the election itself, election denialism, a number of lawsuits filed before the election, a number of lawsuits filed after the election, trying to set aside absentee ballots or disregard ballots submitted by drop boxes. There were fake electors who met at the Capitol while the real electors met inside the Capitol in December of 2020. There were threats of violence and harassment against some election officials. Just a remarkably challenging time. And Megan Wolf has been the administrator during that time. So I suppose it makes some sense that people who are unhappy about things would look to her as the scapegoat. But as her document points out, she's an administrator who serves on behalf of the commissioners, and they are the ones who, in fact, make these big decisions. And it's local election officials, clerks in cities, towns, and villages around the state who actually run those elections.
Barry, I'm thinking back to a year ago, the Fred Prehn situation. The Wisconsin Supreme Court ruled that the member of the Natural Resources Board, Fred Prehn, legally kept his seat after his term expired. And the court said a vacancy is created after another person is confirmed by the state Senate to fill the office. Could Wolf go the same route? Could she stay in her job if the Elections Commission doesn't take any action?
Yeah, this is one of the factors that's complicating just the administrative steps to decide who the administrator will be. As you mentioned, Prehn was allowed to stay in his position even though the term had expired and the governor who appointed him was no longer in office, because the state Senate had not acted on the replacement nominee that Governor Evers had proposed. And Prehn could still be in that position if he wished. He eventually stepped down voluntarily. So it seems possible, because of that precedent, that Megan Wolf could remain in the position, even if not confirmed by the state Senate, even if another person was proposed as her replacement. Again, there's some ambiguity there, and I suspect there would be a lawsuit filed one way or another if that happens. But I would say it's very serious here in a way that it was not for the Natural Resources Board. The 2024 elections are looming. They're around the corner. The first elections will be in February next year, so we're just about 8 months from that. Four elections, including the presidential election in November. Wisconsin is very likely to be a battleground and the subject of controversy and lawsuits and challenges and potentially recounts. It's really important to have people who know what they're doing, who have institutional memory, who have been in this field for a while, all set up and ready to go well before we get near the election.
You know, I'm thinking about, I still think about that, if she stays, just as Fred did, could she be removed from office by other means? What happens?
A short answer is I don't know. you know, we didn't know what was going to happen with the Fred Prehn situation until that case was finally resolved by the Supreme Court. There would likely be another case if she was in a kind of interim or gray area, serving without confirmation, maybe with another name being proposed as a replacement. Again, it depends on what the commission does this afternoon. They might well deadlock on a 3-3 vote. That often happens on a commission that is designed to have three Republicans and three Democrats. So we're sort of figuring out the administrative and legal steps of this as we go.
Figuring it out as we go. That's interesting, isn't it? Barry Burden is a political science professor and the director of the Elections Research Center at UW-Madison. Call in 800-642-1234. I'm Shereen Seward. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show. I'm Shereen Seward. Megan Wolf is eligible for a second term as Wisconsin's election administrator, but her reappointment is far from assured. Call in 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Barry Burden is a political science professor and the director of the Elections Research Center at UW-Madison. Barry stays with us. Barry, what's the likeliest scenario here? How will this play out? How will the state's top elections official finally be determined?
Well, what we know is that the Elections Commission is meeting this afternoon at 3:30, and this issue is on their agenda. The chair of the commission is Don Millis. He's a Republican appointed by Speaker Voss, and he has said publicly he thinks there should be a vote, so they shouldn't punt on this issue or not take action. He seems favorable towards Megan Wolf's performance. He has said she has done a good job. The three Democrats presumably are on her side. They have been supportive. Those four together would be enough. Four out of six would be a majority. If they all voted to keep her in the position, that would be essentially a recommendation to reappoint her. I think that's most likely, but it's hard to know. If that happens, that would send the nomination over to the state Senate. The state Senate would have the option to either consider her nomination and vote on it or to take no action. The president of the state Senate has said he doesn't support her nomination and doesn't think they have enough votes there to support her. The majority leader hasn't said what his view is, but he also says it's unlikely they would get 17 votes for her. But again, that's if it even gets to a vote. And with Fred Preen's case that we just talked about, there was no action in the state Senate. So he continued to serve because his replacement was not considered. So it may be that the commission today decides to keep her in her role. The state Senate doesn't act right away. They're busy enough with the budget and other things that are happening this spring and summer. And so she might well serve in a kind of interim or, temporary role for some period of time.
So do you think it'll be resolved before the 2024 election?
Well, I think it's essential that that happens. I think it needs to be solved this summer, so that the preparations can begin for next year. It's really by this fall that everything needs to be in place for the four elections that'll happen next year: February, April, the August primary, and then the November general election. Local officials need to have the guidance as to how elections will be run. There's implementation of court decisions that has to happen. There are funding issues, there's ballot design and candidate qualification for ballots and all those kinds of things. Which presidential primary candidates, for example, can appear on the April ballot? That's something that works its way through the commission. So I think having stable leadership at the top of someone who is trusted and experienced is just really important. And we've seen lots of good election officials pushed out of office over the last 3 years since 2020 because of the difficulties of the job or them essentially being chased away by people who are skeptical about what's happening with elections.
We're talking about Wisconsin Election Administrator Megan Wolf with Barry Burden. He is a political science professor. Barry, you're also the director of the Elections Research Center at UW-Madison. You must have an opinion. What is the best case scenario for the state of Wisconsin?
I think best case is to provide stability and to keep Megan Wolf in her position. This is my personal view. When you talk to clerks around the state, there are about 2,000 clerks in every county, city, town, and village around the state who run elections here. It's a very decentralized system. You ask them what is most important as they head into next year's elections, and the answer is almost always, please don't change a thing. We are tired of dealing with changes in federal law and state law and personnel and court decisions and controversy and funding. Let's just let us know what the system is so that we can do our jobs and run elections in a safe, secure, responsible manner. And so I think changing up leadership at this time, or even changing any significant policies, is a really bad idea. As you get close to big elections, you just need to maintain the good things you have about that system, and that includes keeping people with experience who actually know what they're doing.
How is Megan Wolf generally regarded as a state elections official, both inside and outside Wisconsin? Is there a disparity?
Well, outside Wisconsin, she is widely respected by other state election directors. She is part of an association of the 50 state election directors called NASED. She was actually president of that group last year and hosted a meeting of all the state election directors or state election administrators in Madison. They have expressed their support for her. And they come from red states and blue states and all kinds of different systems, many of them working with partisan secretaries of state, which is not the Wisconsin system. She was also president of the board of ERIC, which is another controversial aspect of the Wisconsin election system, but she was chosen for that role because the other ERIC state election officials trusted her and respected her. So I would say she's viewed as a highly competent, knowledgeable person by other election officials around the country. In Wisconsin, views are a little more divided because of partisanship, and Republicans in particular have become skeptical of the Elections Commission generally, or really any state elections agency. I just mentioned that a few moments ago, the history we've gone through from the State Elections Board to the GAB and now to the Elections Commission, that series of replacements is partly because of distrust of the current system. We just seem to keep reinventing that system. So there is a general, I think, apprehension about the state elections agency, whatever it is, and because she's the administrator, she's taken some fire for that. So Republicans, especially elected Republicans, I think have a variety of views about her. Democratic officials and many clerks who are nonpartisan, I think, have a pretty positive view of her trying to steer and keep things afloat through the difficulties of 2020. But in the end, the views, I guess, of other election officials around the country or clerks don't matter that much. It really is up to the commission and to the state Senate.
Let's go to Andy. Andy's calling from Manitowoc. Thanks for calling, Andy.
Yes, I was wondering if your guests could kind of get into the legalities of some of the things that occurred during the last election. You know, he's already mentioned the Dropbox situation. And I know that I'm aware of a couple people anyway, you know, one or two, that were involved with a church group that went around and collected ballots and went to the NGOs that they were working with and then eventually went to the drop boxes and dropped off ballots. And I just wondered, you know, it, from what I understand, it's on the verge of being legal or whatever, but it sounds like maybe Megan or the group could have done something to kept the clerks or somebody aware of what was going on or whatever.
Okay.
And the second one is that in Green Bay, when the Zuckerberg money was distributed to the five communities in Wisconsin, Green Bay seemed to use it for the consultant that came in. And based on Andre Jacques' information that he got through the Freedom of Information Act, found that the consultant actually acted as a clerk because the clerk in Green Bay got actually not invited to many of the meetings.
Okay. Thanks so much, Andy. Barry, what do you think about what Andy said? Did Megan Wolf and the commission act appropriately in these instances?
Yeah, let's talk about drop boxes for a moment because this is at the heart of some of the controversy about Megan Wolf's term in office. Drop boxes had been used in Wisconsin communities, I think, for about a decade, a number of years before the pandemic hit. There's nothing in state law about them. It doesn't authorize them. It doesn't not authorize them. They're just not mentioned. When the pandemic hit, many communities were quite interested in encouraging absentee voting and offering a way for people to return ballots that didn't involve face-to-face contact, especially in those early days when there was so much uncertainty about how COVID was transmitted. And the commission, on a bipartisan basis, voted to give instruction to clerks around the state about how they could offer drop boxes. And it gave them guidance on what would be good practices for secure drop boxes, where to locate them, how many you might need for the size of your community, and so on. It wasn't a decision of Megan Wolf, and it wasn't a new law or regulation. It was really communicating good practices for things that were already being done. Now, after the election, there was a case that went to the state Supreme Court, and the court ruled that drop boxes were not allowed by state law. And so going forward, they wouldn't be used, and there won't be any in place next year for any of those elections. But it wasn't an action of Megan Wolf in particular. It wasn't even a partisan action. It was something done on a bipartisan basis by the commission. And the collection of absentee ballots, depositing them in drop boxes, what's sometimes called ballot harvesting, is part of that. State law just doesn't say whether someone can return a ballot for someone else in a clear fashion. But in that Supreme Court decision that dealt with drop boxes, the justices also made clear that no one can return a ballot except the voter. There was then a slight exception made for people who have disabilities and would need assistance, but that too changed state practices. You know, the Green Bay situation doesn't really involve Megan Wolf. She wasn't involved in getting grants from nonprofits that went to many municipalities around the state. Green Bay was one of, I think, hundreds of places around the state that received those grants. I know it was controversial, but not really part of Wolf's purview.
About 30 seconds left. What do you see as the greatest challenge facing Megan Wolf or whoever is in this role in 2024?
I think reestablishing public trust, widespread public trust on both sides of the aisle, is really crucial and also really difficult. It's been surprising how stubborn the distrust of the election has been coming out of 2020. Often the losing side in an election has sort of sour grapes and maybe has some suspicions that something was amiss. But those bad feelings tend to recede within a few months after the election. And that has not happened, obviously, after 2020.
Well,
We have
Barry,
been through a really successful 2022 cycle, so hopefully we're able to continue that.
Barry, thank you so much for being here. Appreciate it.
Glad to be with you. Thanks.
Barry Burden, a political science professor and the director of Elections Research Center at UW-Madison, was our guest. You can call in today, 800-642-1234. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show. I'm Shereen Seward in for Kate Archer-Kent. The Wisconsin Department of Safety and Professional Services launched an online self-service system and sought public feedback as part of their effort to reduce delays in approving credential license applications. So how is the department catching up with the backlog? Call in with your questions, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Dan Harreth is the secretary designee of the Wisconsin Department of Safety and Professional Services. Dan, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Shereen, thank you for having me.
Well, like nearly all government offices, your department was shut down by the pandemic, and as a result, a backlog of applications seeking licenses deepens. What is the current backlog like now, today, at your department?
Yeah, I appreciate the question. First, I want to highlight that the pandemic actually didn't shut us down. We were quite successful in moving most of our services to online modalities and actually are quite proud of the work that we did, particularly in the construction space. We took a number of calls early in the pandemic, you know, asking, are we going to shut down inspections and review of plans and things like that? And we actually didn't. We came up with new video inspection protocols for the pandemic, and we immediately shifted to online plan review services, which, while certainly a bit of a shift for some folks on the technology side, I actually took calls in the subsequent years from contractors talking about the money they had saved by making the switch themselves, even if they were hesitant at first. In terms of our department moving forward, you pointed out that we have moved to an online platform. It's kind of an interesting conversation in that, government often isn't on the leading edge of technology, and that's just fine. Certainly, we want to be working with proven technology. But we were sort of slow to the game in terms of moving to an online platform. Many of our applications, even up until this last summer here, were still in paper form. We just went live with the business portion of our licensed professions and plan to add our trades to the system by the end of the year.
So the new web platform really changed the application process for you then?
Absolutely. I mean, it was a monumental shift, both internally, but as well as externally. I think we had lots of different customers who had grown accustomed to utilizing our paper forms, and I think in particular one of the interesting things we learned is just how hard our partners in the educational systems and in the private sector work to assist their prospective employees with moving through these processes, many of them for the first time. And so they always say with change management, you shouldn't underestimate that. And I think we found that to be absolutely true. We've spent the better part of the last year engaging heavily with our partners in the private sector, as well as in the colleges and universities. We've held dozens of roundtables seeking feedback and making substantial changes to the system and improvements to the system based on that feedback. And And, you know, one of the really gratifying things for me is just to see the improvements, not just in our productivity, but also in our ability to provide customer service to the citizens of Wisconsin.
We're talking about professional licensing with Dan Harris, Secretary Designee of the Wisconsin Department of Safety and Professional Services. So what was the backlog at its worst, and what is it like now?
Well, so I think one of the things that was frustrating, not just for our applicants, but for us as a department, is the ability to move through documentation as it arrived at our door. You know, when I started with the agency, almost all of our applications were primarily paper. So that involved taking those paper applications and then entering them into a database and then moving through the process from there. That means we had dozens of different ways people were sending us information, whether it was mail, fax, email. One interesting story, not on the licensing side, but on the plan review side of our work, was I actually heard about a plan that was submitted on a napkin. And so generating that consistency is certainly key to ensuring that our processes are moving more effective and more efficiently. So to give you some idea of the improvement, when I started with the agency back at the beginning of 2019, it would take 6 to 8 weeks to process new information coming into the agency. And today, as we sit here, as of last Friday, we're under a week. So that sort of substantial change in our ability to move through the information coming to the department is certainly key to ensuring that our applicants can move through the process as quickly and as efficiently as possible.
I want to ask you a little bit about the budget. The Governor Tony Evers' budget included 80 new full-time positions for your department. The Republican-controlled Joint Budget Committee approved fewer than 18. Is your department able to meet the demands for licensing without more staff?
Yeah, I think, you know, people like to talk about solutions sort of in silos, and the way I see the work that we do is that not that everything that we do has an impact on the folks that we serve and the safety of the citizens of Wisconsin. So we talked a little bit about the technology. We're talking a little bit now about the people. We talked a little bit about communications. Each one of those things has an impact on the ability of our agency to help applicants move through the process. You know, the governor, through the governor's leadership, we received ARPA funding to add dozens of additional staff to help license people more quickly, and we're doing just that. I will say that the staff approved in the budget were certainly temporary staff by and large, and we're working here at the department to build not just a licensing system or a licensing process that is better than we've ever been. We're looking to build the best process in the nation. And how we do that is not just with technology, but it's about people connecting with people and providing the assistance and services that they need. You know, when I look at the information that's available to me, I can see that over 75% of applicants are moving through the process at warp speed. I don't know if you're a Star Trek fan. I happen to be one. I won't get into the Star Wars versus Star Trek here on the call.
I do love Star Trek.
But we have to figure out how we take that last 25%. And bring them up to where that the 75% of folks are. And oftentimes it's because they have unique circumstances, unique applications, or just have more questions. And being able to provide services to those folks is critical, not just to the work that we do, but it's critical to the state of Wisconsin. You may have heard the term war for workers. That's something that I know a lot of people are saying these days. And it's absolutely true. Wisconsin needs to recruit and retain every qualified professional that we can, and at least for licensed professions, it starts by building processes and serving our applicants in the best way possible. You know, I do want to back up for a second and just talk a little bit about why I'm so passionate about our ability to serve applicants and where we need to take this agency. It may be a small difference for some people, but it's a large difference in my mind. And it's the fact that our agency is funded completely by fee revenue. We don't take a dime of tax dollars here in the state of Wisconsin. And so at the end of the day, we're not talking about making choices between our department and other priorities. We're not talking about, raising taxes. What we're talking about is taking the fee revenue we already collect and reinvesting it in the people we're supposed to serve.
Dan, I'll circle back to that in a minute, but we were talking about process, and I guess I'm curious how the department ensures that an applicant has legitimately met licensing requirements. What's the process?
Yeah, so, I think I could talk all day about process, but the one of the key features of licensing, and it's something we're looking to make adjustments to, is that licensing is iterative. That means there, depending on your profession, there could be two requirements or there could be dozens of requirements. And it's our job as an agency to ensure that we receive information and documentation that is accurate and that reflects that those requirements have been met. You know, I'll just point out that there is currently a national investigation into nursing transcript fraud. And so I do want to stop and think about that for just a second and think about how critical, it is to have actual nurses on the floor of hospitals and making sure that folks aren't slipping through the cracks and potentially causing harm to patients here in the state of Wisconsin. And so we review information from primary sources. We look at documentation to ensure it meets the criteria set forth in law for that person to be licensed here in the state. Then ultimately we license them. Now, does that mean we can't make improvements or shift processes? Absolutely not. And I think I'm really excited about that work because one of the things I did my first week on the job as secretary was meet with our nursing board chair. And we changed a requirement to allow the department to authorize our nursing applicants to test as soon as they graduated. And shift the review of that graduation to later in the process. Mm-hmm. That allowed us to take those 2 to 4 weeks that those students typically spend studying and taking their national exam to review other information for that application, thereby taking a process from being largely iterative to being more concurrent. That's the sort of work we can do to improve processes without sacrificing the safety of the citizens of Wisconsin. And, I'm so excited that that's bearing out in such a large way. In fact, I was talking to somebody the other day who had a student, a nursing student, who actually received her license, her nursing license, before she had actually received her national test scores from the testing institution. So, before the student received their scores, we received those scores and we received the rest of the documentation to issue that license and did so. That's the sort of progress that we're making for the citizens of Wisconsin and we're going to continue working on.
Dan Harreth is the secretary designee of the Wisconsin Department of Safety and Professional Services. He'll stay with us for the rest of the hour. You can call in 800-642-1234. I'm Shereen Seward. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's the Morning Show. I'm Shereen Seewert. We're talking about challenges in Wisconsin's professional license process. Have you experienced a delay yourself? Call in 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Dan Harith is the Secretary Designee of the Wisconsin Department of Safety and Professional Services. He stays with us. Dan, the department has a surplus of $47 million. We were talking about how your office is funding a few minutes ago. It's my understanding you're unable to use that surplus to expand staff and services without approval from the Senate. How does that work? And how do you think the surplus should be used?
Yeah, as we were talking about a few minutes ago, you know, my vision for serving the citizens of Wisconsin is to be able to reinvest every dime that our license holders pay for their services back into these processes. You know, I had talked a little bit about the fact that we are not funded for by fees from the taxpayers of the state of Wisconsin. Our department does not take a single dime of Wisconsin tax revenue. And so really, as a fee-for-service agency, taking that money and investing it in our processes is almost an imperative based on the structure of how we're funded. At the end of the day, we are one of the lowest licensing fee states in the nation. I think we certainly have, I believe, the third lowest fees for docs and many of our other professions, although I think some states are structured a bit differently. But, despite being the third lowest in terms of fees in the nation, we also have the revenue to support the investments that we're asking to make in our budget. And, I think, based on what we've talked about, investing in the citizens of the state of Wisconsin, investing in our license applicants and investing in keeping people safe is really critical to not just the well-being of our state from a safety perspective, but the economic well-being of our state moving forward. We talked about being in a war for workers and if we're not doing everything that we can do to recruit and retain that talent, other states are going to be investing. And so that's why I think you saw that throughout the governor's budget is the need to invest in our state and in our services. And those are arguments we're going to continue to make because we think it's critical to the future of the state.
Dan, the state assembly passed several bills that would require your department to track and report how quickly applications are processed and calls are answered. How do you view the legislature's proposed new reporting requirements?
Yeah, I think we're in a place where we're making a lot of progress in a lot of different areas. And like I mentioned earlier, we are every month over the last 3 or 4 months here, we've seen record numbers of licenses issued in the history of our agency. We're very proud of that work. And ultimately we look forward to sharing that news in ways that make sense for the folks that we serve. Me providing information on averages or medians or different things doesn't necessarily help a license applicant, decide how to move through the process. I mentioned a statistic earlier that I felt was really demonstrative of the progress that the agency is making, and where we had gone from taking 4 to 6 weeks to process documentation to now being under a week. And I think that's the sort of information that it really benefits our license holders. They can look at that and say, okay, when I submit a piece of documentation, here's how long I should expect this to take before I hear from the agency about my next steps.
We're talking about professional licensing with Dan Harith, Secretary Designee of the Wisconsin Department of Safety and Professional Services. Dan, I'm curious about, you're talking about wait times down to a week. Does that vary depending on the type of license that you're getting, the profession that you're in?
Well, I think we have a goal of getting to less than a week for all professions. Our average is currently less than a week, and I think over 90% of our professions are less than 10 days. And those are, that's, I'm talking in terms of calendar days, not in terms of business days. But that being said, I think you aptly point out that licenses vary in complexity. I mentioned earlier, some have two requirements and some have dozens of requirements, particularly when I think about our mental behavioral health licenses and our physician's licenses. I think those are aptly complex. Those are complex fields that require a lot of knowledge and expertise to execute at a high level. We continue to work to make improvements. As I said, we're evaluating how to take processes from being iterative to being more concurrent. We're also continuing to lean into technology. I think one of the messages that I heard loud and clear from our legislative partners a couple weeks ago was that they believe in the ability of technology to provide benefits to the citizens of Wisconsin. And so, I'm right there with them. I agree with the premise that we need to continue to bring on new systems and new technologies in order to provide assistance in a modern age. So we're looking at things like electronic supervised hours reporting. That's an area of our mental behavioral health professions that often creates extra time in the process. I mean, not just because it takes often up to two or 3,000 hours of required supervised training time, that adds time, but also the complexity of reporting that and documenting that via paper. And so moving that fully into an electronic process complete with supervisor verifications is one thing that we're working on to kind of take us to that next level.
And just briefly, Dan, as you lean into technology, do you see artificial intelligence as the answer to some of these issues, leaning on artificial intelligence to improve your operations?
Every tool is just that. It's something to be utilized to the benefit of people. And at the heart of all processes and behind every tool is a person. And so I think while artificial intelligence certainly holds a lot of promise, particularly when I look at things like improving customer service, I also think that at the end of the day, when I talk about or when I look at trying to serve that 25% I mentioned earlier, that 25% that need that additional assistance, sometimes you just need to be able to talk to a person. That's sure. Why we were so adamant about the need for additional people in our budget. Mm-hmm. And it's why I'm going to continue to advocate for resources, not just to lean into technology, but also to provide that level of individualized customer service.
Dan, thank you so much for being here and sharing this with us today.
Absolutely. Appreciate your time this morning.
Dan Harreth is the Secretary Designee of the Wisconsin Department of Safety and Professional Services. I'm Shereen Seward. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.